is a special report from ABC News, Your Voice, Your Vote. I'm Michelle Franzen. Candidates Kamala Harris and Donald Trump off the trail today. The former president voted in Florida. His running mate, J.D. Vance, cast his ballot in his home state of Ohio and sounded optimistic.
You never know until you know, but I feel good about this race. I felt good about my own race a couple of years ago when I voted in this exact same spot.
Voters also weighing in on other key races and measures.
America is making its choice, not just for the 47th president, but for the 119th Congress. Every seat in the House is on the ballot, as well as 34 seats in the Senate. Voters in 10 states, including the key battlegrounds of Arizona and Nevada, will decide whether abortion rights should be enshrined into law. Most political observers believe the outcomes may not be known tonight. But voters have surprised the pundits before.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Election officials in North Carolina and Georgia reporting that so far no issues as Americans head to the polls. This is ABC News. Several people are under arrest in Europe connected to an alleged plot to put incendiary devices on commercial aircraft. A senior U.S. official says it was part of a wider plot by Russia's security services.
The Kremlin has predictably dismissed the reports that it tried to place incendiary devices on planes bound for the U.S. Two incendiary devices ignited in July at DHL logistics hubs in Germany and the U.K. A senior U.S. official told ABC that the U.S. believes that was part of a wider plot by Russia's security services to send incendiary devices on cargo or passenger planes that would potentially end up in the U.S. Patrick Reeval, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Summon Senate to make sure you cast your ballot on this election day. You can get a free burger from Shake Shack and Wendy's on some orders. And if you have a sweet tooth, Krispy Kreme is giving away free donuts. Uber, Lyft, and Starbucks also offering discounts. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, sounds like wipers. If your wipers are streaking, skipping, chattering, or even worse, loud, you need to visit AutoZone and get some fresh new blades. We've got basic wipers to get you back on the road, as well as premium blades from Bosch and Rain-X. So if you're hearing this, just head to your nearest AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
JCPenney has more gifts, bigger savings for every holiday wish list. Celebrate the season that never stops giving. From denim to diamonds, PJs to perfume, and mixers to massagers, we're giving you more options than ever at a value that helps you give a little extra. Looking for more bright ideas? We've got the big brands everyone wants. From Levi's to Legos, there's more to love for them and you. All the deals, all the feels, all the gifts to go around. JCPenney, make it count.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newbert. Today is Election Day. Polls are open until 8 p.m. If you're coming out to cast a ballot, be sure to bring your photo ID with you. And if you're coming to register to vote, bring a proof of residency with you as well. The Republican National Committee has filed a lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee. Bob Haig has more.
The RNC claiming the Milwaukee Election Commission arbitrarily limited the number of observers allowed in some early in-person absentee voting locations to one from each political party and will do so again at the polls on Tuesday. Election Commission Executive Director Paulina Gutierrez said observers may be subject to reasonable limitations under authority granted chief inspectors under state law, but the Republican Party was not denied presence of an observer during in-person absentee voting and won't be denied on Election Day. She said city attorneys will respond to any lawsuit.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz campaigned in La Crosse on Monday on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris.
Billions of people around the world can't imagine having the freedom to gather in a room like this to determine the future of how we want to be governed. A future that either goes backwards, is divisive, dark, and angry, or one that is hopeful, unified, inclusive.
Walz encouraged young people to vote and urged others to do so as well. He was making stops in Wausau and Milwaukee as well. Republican vice presidential candidate Ohio Senator J.D. Vance also made a stop in La Crosse. If you're planning to stay up and wait for election results tonight, you could be a while. The head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Ann Jacobs, is predicting that they'll be done by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. That's because there's over 1.5 million absentee ballots that need to be counted. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Dreary and soggy today, with scattered showers and even some thunderstorms expected this afternoon, which could be strong to severe, bringing some gusty winds. Otherwise today, expect patchy fog, highs only reaching the upper 40s, and breezy winds. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, 44 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Election Day 2024 with the Pledge of Allegiance. Right hand over your heart, and I invite you to join Davis and me right now. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Live from Civic Duty Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. Then we'll catch up with the farm CPA, that's Paul Niefer. Directly following the news, Karen Bonerch from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. It is Election Day 2024.
Get out We've and vote. It. Get out We've and made vote.
It. Yep. Get out there and vote. I've got my I voted sticker. Joe's got his. Big Apple Joe Stackler's got his. Davis doesn't have his yet, but he's going to.
I'll collect mine. Yep,
exactly. Exactly. And we need you all to get out there. Okay, here. Listen to this. Listen to this. I got an email this morning from a listener sent in to host@agritalk.com. Here it is. Hey, Chip. I farm about 40 miles southwest of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Battleground.
I was surprised how long the voting line was at our local precinct. My wife and I went up at 9 a.m. Normally, you walk right through at that time. The line was about 15 minutes long, and they said it was the shortest it had been at that point. Wow. It lengthened while we were leaving. I would think this is a good sign for Trump. He won our county the last two elections. Also, I got to throw this in there. Shout out to Jim Wiesmeyer. This is from our listener. Shout out to Jim Wiesmeyer for saying on your show a few weeks ago that he thought my part of the country could determine the election. That was pretty cool to hear. Davis, this guy gets it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This guy absolutely gets it. He knows that his vote might be the deciding vote in this election. And I want everyone to go out there and vote like your vote is the deciding vote.
That's good. Yeah. That's a great thought. Okay. I appreciate that.
Get out there and get it done.
Yep.
All right.
America.
America. We need to get moving, so let's get started. What do you got?
Well, the National Weather Service is calling for a cold front to stall near the Mississippi River Valley today with excessive rainfall, bringing areas of flooding over parts of the region. Gusty winds and dry conditions will drive critical to extremely critical fire weather over portions of central and southern California through Thursday. Tropical storm watches have been issued for parts of the Florida Keys ahead of Tropical Cyclone Rafael. Chip, private exporters reported sales of 124,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year, buddy.
Yeah, these export demands, I mean, they just keep coming. And we're going to talk to Dan Bossi about it a little bit here in just a little bit, because we need to preview some of the supply and demand issues that are coming up for Friday's report.
Well, I've got crop progress and report highlights from as of November 3rd. Corn, 91% harvested. That compares to 75% on average. Soybeans, 94% harvested. Compares to 85% on average. Cotton, 63% harvested, ahead of the 54% average. And winter wheat, 41% good to excellent, compares to 38% last week. 87% planted, just slightly behind the average. And 66% emerged. That compares to 71% emerged on average.
Yeah, corn and soybean harvest are done, Davis. There are some areas out there that are a little bit behind, but for the most part, it's done.
Yep. Well, weather conditions improved across central Brazil over the past week. As a result, South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier left his Brazilian crop estimates at 165 million metric tons for soybeans and 125 million metric tons for corn. As we've been saying, today is Election Day, with tight races for the presidency in the House, while Republicans are expected to gain a slight majority in the Senate. If you have not done so already, we here at AgriTalk do encourage you to vote. Chip, I have two daughters. They voted on opposite sides of the aisle.
Did they?
My hope for them, vote your conscience, know why you're voting, and vote. That's all I cared about for my daughters. Get out and vote, gang.
And you know what? A realization that we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
We may not agree on everything, and that's okay.
We shouldn't. Yeah.
But we are all on the same team.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Well, commodity brokerage StoneX lowered its U.S. corn production estimate to 15.193 billion bushels on a yield of 183.7 bushels per acre. That's down 0.3 from last month. StoneX cut its soybean crop estimate to 4.539 billion bushels on a yield of 52.6 bushels per acre. That's almost down a full bushel from last month. Crude oil prices rose nearly 3% yesterday as OPEC Plus announced it would delay a planned increase in output by a month, extending cuts of 2.2 million barrels per day through December due to weak demand and falling prices. And here's a piece of good news. Chip, DG Fuels announces plans for a $5 billion sustainable aviation fuel facility in Moorhead, Minnesota, expected to produce 193 million gallons per year from agricultural and wood waste, creating 650 jobs and a projected $50 billion economic impact statewide. Chip?
Yep, that one checks the box on all of the above, no doubt about it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. How are you?
Doing real fine. Okay. There is a measure on the ballot in Oregon that all dairies everywhere should pay attention to. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I have talked. Government regulations is one of the top concerns that dairy producers worry about. And in Oregon, there is a proposed regulation that would create a 500-foot distance requirement between livestock barns and chip farm worker housing. To me, this seems insane. Currently, there's about 80% of Oregon dairies have housing within 500 feet of their livestock facilities. This holds true in other states too. And so, you know, to have dairy farming, what we know is true is dairy farming is truly 24/7. And to have someone chip that lives near livestock is crucial, both for the welfare of the animals. And so I spoke to Oregon Dairy Farmers Association, and they pointed out that there hasn't been any sickness or safety issues reported due to existing housing proximity to livestock facilities. But that, you know, there is concerns, not by Oregon dairy farmers, but by the hooligans, whoever, if you will, are putting this proposal together over H5N1.
Right.
But the Oregon dairy farmers argued that the risk to humans is low. And what we just wonder, how far will they take this? Will they take it on to 4-H and FFA members who are raising livestock at home?
Yeah.
What about the families like myself that live on dairies and we live close to barns? I mean, how far will they take it?
Yeah.
What I also know is true is that we have to continue, and I say we, dairy farmers, have to continue advocating our dairy story so that people know the real story behind how we care for our cows.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, who says it stops at dairies? Does it go to beef, poultry, pigs? It's crazy talk, Karen.
It is crazy talk.
What it is. Yes. Thank you for getting us the update. And we need to get an update on how this turns out. All right.
Absolutely.
You bet. Go to dairyherd.com for more.
John Carter knows the value of his efforts to farm sustainably on his Indiana dairy.
Sustainability is really important to the consumer. As a farmer, it's important for us to produce a product that meets those standards.
That's why the Checkoffs work to do research and share results is so important.
If we weren't sustainable as a farm, we wouldn't be here. So the Checkoff is a bridge to tell the farmer's story on how they're practicing sustainability.
Learn more at dairycheckoff.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Okay, Auntie.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bile-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long N to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this election day 2024. Get out and vote. If you think I've said it enough already, well, get used to it. I'm probably going to say it a couple of more times before
I want to say it too. Get out and vote.
Get out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it. Let's do this.
Yes. All right. Dan Bossi with Ag Resource Company is our guest here this morning. Dan, it's good to talk to you. Happy election day, man.
Get out and vote, Chip. You've got it right.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's a big week, Dan. It's not only the elections. We've got the Federal Open Market Committee meeting. We got the crop production and the supply and demand on Friday. It's a big week on many different levels for farmers.
It really is, Chip, and not to belittle the Chinese, but they have a big parliamentary meeting ongoing to decide if they're going to provide more stimulus. So when you boil it all together, this is going to be kind of a bellwether for the grain markets looking forward.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So you brought some news to me. So let's talk about that a little bit. And we've talked about it in the past, but the stimulus efforts that China has put in place to date, success, are they noticing a difference?
Well, we're starting to see housing values stabilize. Remember that in China, when they think about retirement or how they feel financially, it's all based in their real estate. So with that in mind, we're starting to see stability in some of the urban housing markets, which I think is a good thing. The first time we've seen it over the last 4 years. And so there's starting to be, I don't want to say green shoots, but maybe some opportunity that the Chinese are starting to right the ship. I don't think it, you know, manifests itself in the more consumer demand at the moment, but at least the Chinese will, you know, think differently about their purchases going forward and maybe be a little more active.
Okay. So let's start at the end of the week and work back then, I guess, because we're talking about one of the big issues in the supply and demand, and that's on the demand side of the balance sheet. Start with soybean demand. Is there anything there that you think might move the needle on this big carryover that we got from USDA in October?
Well, we've seen some good sales in the last 4 to 5 weeks, largely due to China and unknown destination. I think that'll allow USDA to hold its export estimates steady. Okay. But I think if you're going to see any bullishness from the report, it's going to have to come from a drop in yield. So not looking for any changes on the demand side, at least in November, but we're hopeful that maybe the yield comes down a skosh, that maybe tightens end stocks a little bit. But at the end of the day, we're still left with too many beans if South America doesn't have a weather problem.
Yeah, yeah. And right now, South America is not having a weather problem. We call it the supply and demand report. It's actually the WASD, World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates. And those, the global supply side of soybeans is just, you know, we think about it being hefty here in the U.S., and it is, but man, is it burdensome globally?
It really is, to the point that we're adding this year about 600 million bushels of soybeans in Brazil, going from 53 to 69 million metric tons. And then when you look at, we had a record large U.S. crop, it's just kind of back to backing it. So we do have this abundance of soybeans per se. If there's any bullishness on Friday, it maybe comes in the minor oilseed category because of smaller sunseed harvests in Ukraine, smaller rapeseed crops in Canada and the EU. Maybe that's offsetting. That's maybe more bullish of oil than meal, but nonetheless, maybe that's the help of the report come Friday.
Okay. All right. Any is there chance for enough change on the supply side? In other words, yield. The national average soybean yield, is there enough chance for a change there to move the needle?
Well, I'm doubtful, because if we go back to October, USDA or NAS has already harvested over 80% of its objective yield plots. And so when they harvest that percentage that quickly for October, the opportunity to get a big change in yield in November is rather modest. So we can talk about maybe a half a bushel down or something like that, but I don't think it's going to be more than that. On corn, they didn't harvest as much, only 60% of their objective yield plots on corn. So maybe there's more room for either up or down in the corn yield. Our vision is up, because yields really in the last part of harvest came out very well, and we didn't see a lot of harvest losses because of the favorable weather. So with that in mind, we kind of think the corn yield will nudge up near 184, but on soybeans, I really think it's kind of what you see is what you're going to get, and that carries from November probably into December and January until we get the final numbers and wrap it all up.
Yeah, yeah. It that amazes me that this corn yield could continue to inch up here a little bit with the way the crop finished. I figured ear weights at the end would pull this thing down, Dan, but you're right. I didn't hear a whole lot of that.
No, and when we go out and look at the number of fields that yielded above 250 bushels per acre, it was a record by, two or three fold. And so it just was a big harvest. You wonder where this corn crop would be without the dry finish. Maybe we could make it up to 188, but, 184 to 186 based on that last yield data that we've been collecting is reasonable by the final in January, not so much in November, but it just was the kind of year that the corn plant really did well. And, genetics really showed its prowess this year, relatively speaking. So corn's probably going to be better than beans, Chip, as we see it.
All right. Demand side of the balance sheet on corn. It's been pretty good here recently.
Yeah, no, the corn has had much very strong sales to Mexico. We're watching the unknown buyer, which we're seeing record for this time of the year of unknown sales, whether it's China or Mexico, I think is the debate in the market. So maybe USDA can bump up their corn export number by 25 or 50. We also think they should do the same in ethanol. We think they're 25 or 50 million bushels too low. So maybe the corn yield increase is offset by a demand increase, and we're still left with about 2 billion bushels or slightly under that. Okay. So, you know, it's enough, but maybe it's enough to get us to March corn up to 440 or 450.
Okay. All right. Good preview. It's election day. I'm not going to ask you who you're voting for, Dan. Don't worry about that. But do you anticipate that there's going to be a reaction in the commodity markets, the farm markets, once the winner of the presidential race is known?
I don't think there's any doubt. The fireworks happen tonight. They're not going to happen during the day session. When we see whether Trump or Harris has won, we'll see the markets betting accordingly. I would imagine that, you know, the last couple of days we've seen the Trump trade come off, the Trump trade being things like long of stocks and short of long of the dollar and short of soybeans. I would imagine that if he wins, we'll see the selling come back in the soybean market. Maybe the dollar rallies and the stock market gains. If Harris wins, maybe some of that is reversed. We see more of the Trump trade exiting. But I don't think in either case, unless there's a lasting South American weather problem, that a bounce in the markets can be sustained more than a couple of days. Okay. We just got too big a crop potential down in South America and too many bushels everywhere else. So that's kind of our vision as we see it, Chip.
So is it a trade reaction or is it a biofuels reaction?
Well, biofuels are very important. I mean, this 45Z is something that we're still trying to decipher. I'm more and more of the opinion that we're not going to get a decision on 45Z until the new president is installed and we get something probably in February or March. That being said, you know, a lot of the biofuel industry is waiting anxiously for Mark to decide what their margins are in terms of what are payments from the government. We'll see how that all works out. But I wish the Harris campaign was a little clearer on what she wants to do with 45Z, because today it's relatively murky in what the Treasury Department will do.
Okay. And then the other one that it has come up here in the past couple of days, I thought it was an issue that was had maybe moved to the back burner, but they both, Harris and Trump, brought it right back to the front burner, and that's food prices. They've been a huge campaign issue. Trump says he's going to tackle that issue by lowering fuel costs. Harris says she'll go after corporate price gouging. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I don't know. There's just, you know, if you talk to those, I don't care where you're in the food chain, whether it's the farmer in the beginning or the seller at the end, the margins are not that big to go after anybody on gouging. So I think in a grocery store situation, you know, you're talking about margins of about 1.6%. The middleman maybe has a little bigger margins, and we and the farmer are somewhere, you know, in the 16% area. So in terms of the total cost of what a consumer spends. So I don't understand, you know, this talk about going after gouging per se, because I don't see much of it across the chain.
Okay.
That being said, I do believe that energy costs coming down across for the consumer, for the farmer, for everybody in America would be a good thing. Drill, baby, drill makes sense to me, and we might as well use the energy that we have and given to us by you know, God going forward. So that's what I think.
All right. 10 seconds. Fed rate cut on Thursday?
Quarter point. Put it in your bank. We'll take us down another notch. Probably get another one the first quarter of next year, heading to lower rates by the middle of 2025.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you so much. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Great job, man. Paul Niefer's next.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine.
not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 18 to 1921, January down 19 to 1932, February down 13 to 1930, March milk down 18 at 1933. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are mostly mixed today. It's been a pretty choppy type of trade. The complex is waiting for the cash markets to develop. Also, there's a lot of positioning because of the election. Box beef prices were mixed, and that's led to live and feeder cattle markets to be mixed. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving up mostly lower. A lot of technical selling in the markets, as many of the funds have been severely overbought and in long positions. December live cattle down 25 cents to 184.82. November feeder cattle down 7 cents to 246.27. December hogs down 205 to 81.17. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans are relatively flat to slightly higher. Now the export wire saw 124,000 metric tons of corn sold to unknown destinations. That's continuing to help support the corn markets. Some technical buying helping to support the soybean markets. While wheat markets are mostly mixed, MATIF wheat prices have also been mixed today. New crop 25 corn up 3/4 to 441 and a half. New crop 25 beans steady at 1035 and a quarter.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip on Election Day 2024. Get out there and vote. Make time for it today, guys. If you haven't done it, get out there and get things done today. All right, Paul Niefer, Farm CPA Report blog and podcast, joins us right now. Mr. Niefer, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm in beautiful Garden City, Kansas, in a hotel room. So, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if you can still call it beautiful out there on November 5th, pretty mild weather out there so far this year, isn't it?
Well, it started raining yesterday, and they definitely could use the rain, and it's definitely a little wet this morning, so it's not too bad.
Good, good. Okay. Let's start with this, the Corporate Transparency Act report that's got to be filed. You've talked about it on the show, I think, a couple of times already, Paul. But, man, when I talk with farmers, talk with business owners, they act like this is something that they've never heard of. And it's the Beneficial Ownership Information Report. What is it?
Yeah, so just quickly, it started this year, at the beginning of this year. So by the end of 2024, so less than 2 months to go, farmers that have an LLC, corporation, any entity that has to be filed with the Secretary of State to get started, they have to file a report on FinCEN.gov, so FINCEN.gov. It's a very easy report to file. You essentially are going to report the company addresses, and then for all the owners that own at least 25% or are in control of the company, you have to provide name, address, birth dates, and then driver's license, and upload a copy of the driver's license. Now, the reason why that I keep harping on this, I guess I want to call it a harping, is if you don't file it, the penalty is $500, not total, $500 a day up to 20 days. So, you know, if a farmer's got four entities and they forget to file this thing, the potential penalty is $40,000. So that's pretty material.
Yeah, yeah. It is long on stick and short on carrots for this incentive. Yeah. I mean, what, let's back up. Who's got to file this thing?
So the company has to file it. So, you know, whoever's in charge of doing that company, they're going to need to file it. Now, they're going to find out a lot of CPAs out there are not interested in filing these reports. You know, typically, you know, you're going to get your tax return done by a CPA, but CPAs, a lot of CPAs have been either advised not to file this by their insurance company, or they just don't have time to file these reports and don't want to have the risk of messing it up. So, again, this is I've done about 40 of these because my son's got me in a bunch of real estate deals and I have to file all these reports. It's an easy report. This is not onerous on you. You know, start to finish, it'll take you less than 10 minutes once you get used to this. It's going to take you 5 or 10 minutes to file a report. So don't worry about this being something that you can't do. Every farmer on this call, that as long as they know how to log on to a computer and use the internet, they're going to be able to do it.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That's cool. Are there any carrots in this thing? I mean, what do you get out of it?
Nothing. You just get the privilege of filing this report. Also, realize that when you're dealing with a banker next year, they're going to require you to have a copy of that report in their records. So, you know, if you don't get it done now, the bank's going to make you get it done. So be proactive. Just get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. The Farm Act. Here we are on election day. What's the status of the Farm Act? This is some relief, or the potential for some relief coming yet this year, I believe, right? Some financial relief.
Well, it's called the Farmer Assistance and Revenue Mitigation Act. I love the acronyms that they come up with, but, you know, it's sort of currently in the House. You know, they're in the recess, so it's sort of suspended right now. But what the act would do if it gets passed, and you know, talking with Jim Wiesmeyer and so on, you know, maybe if they do pass it, it'll probably be tweaked a little bit. Maybe there's too much money in it. But for corn farmers, they're looking at about $100 per acre payment. Doesn't matter what your APH is. This is a national yield, national payment. Wheat farmers might be $80 per acre. Soybeans, maybe $50, $60 per acre. And so it's based on what did you plant in 2024. If you had prevent plant, you're going to get 50% of those acres. They take a 10-year average yield at the national level. They multiply that by the latest MYA price for all those commodities. So like on corn right now, it's 410, wheat's 570. You multiply that out, then you multiply that by 60%. And in the case of corn, like I say, it's about $100 and so on. So this would be probably about $20 billion roughly that might be pumped into the farm economy.
Okay. Well, it's not insignificant. 50 bucks on beans, 80 bucks on wheat, 100 bucks on corn. That is not insignificant. That is something to get out there I don't even know. What does anybody know, Paul, if this is actually going to happen?
Well, you know, again, sort of having internal discussions and so on. I think there's a good chance during the lame duck session, you know, we've heard multiple times that Congress on a bipartisan support feel like maybe about 15 to 20 billion they'd like to kick into the farm economy. I like this act because it specifically tells FSA how to calculate it. It prevents FSA from going off the rails and doing some type of aggressive payment, et cetera. So I really like it. And there's eight commodities that they specifically show, and that's corn, wheat, soybeans, sorghum, oats, barley, cotton, and maybe I missed one. And then all the other crops, they have told FSA basically, hey, you're going to use the same type of analysis to come up with a payment. So I really like that.
Okay. Okay. Real quick, is this something that you anticipate farmers are going to have to sign up for? Are they going to be signed up for it automatically? How's it going to work?
Well, I think they'll probably be similar to ERP. Okay. You know, USDA will be able to calculate all this automatically, and then they'll contact the farmer either via email or, you know, either a phone call or whatever and say, hey, you need to just sign here and you're going to get your money.
Okay. All right. So election day, as a CPA, even a retired CPA, how does your life change after today?
Well, the good news is, Chip, I will have lots of stuff that I can write about in the blog. So, you know, that part is good. You know, right now, nothing really is changing because I don't care if the Republicans win. I don't care if the Democrats win. We know one way or another, there's going to be major tax laws that will be coming either at the end of 25 or at the end of 26. And because we know that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the Trump tax cuts, most of those, not all, but most of those provisions expire at the end of 2025. So Congress, whether you're a Democrat or whether you're Republican, there's certain features of it you want to keep. There's certain features you want to get rid of. So there's going to be some type of a battle. Now, if the Senate goes Republican and the House goes Democrat, yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Right. Right. Interesting as in the fact that, well, no, something's going to happen. Like you said, something is going to happen. It's how they're going to sort it out is what's going to get interesting if we get the split Congress.
Exactly. And then, of course, you know, for the farmers out there, they have the Section 45Z credit. We still don't have any guidance from the IRS and FSA and so on and how that's going to be implemented. Is that something that is going to help farmers, or is that another thing that if, let's say Trump gets elected and we have Republican control, are they going to terminate that credit? You know, those are things that we'll have a pretty good idea, you know, in the next month or two. But again, major tax laws always get enacted in December, or early January. So there's not going to, well, we could have a lame duck session where certain tax, you know, minor tax tweaks might happen in December of this year. But the major stuff is going to be either December of 25 or December of 26.
Okay. All right. Very good. This one's part of the Secure Act 2.0, a change in how employers can treat 401k. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, and actually, it isn't just 401ks. It's any new retirement plan. So like a simple might qualify 401k. It started last year, but I forgot to mention it. If you set up a new plan, and by new, you couldn't have had a pension plan or profit sharing plan or any type of pension plan the last 3 years. So a new plan, when you set that up, all of your costs related to administering that, you actually get a credit off of your taxes equal to 100% of that up to $5,000. So that's okay. And that's for 3 years. But the even better credit is any money that you put in for your employees, like a match up to $1,000. Per employee, you'll get 100% credit against your taxes the first 2 years, and then the third year, 75%, the fourth year, 50%, the fifth year, 25%. So really in that first 3 or 4 years, you know, for most of the farmers out there, they're setting up plans to help their employees and motivate them and retain them. That's going to almost make it a free, sort of free for that first 2 or 3 years. So it's something definitely they need to take a look at.
Okay. And if you are age 60 to 63, you've got an opportunity for some catch-up contributions here, too.
Yeah.
Talk to your
tax guys. That's at the 11,000. $11,250 level instead of the normal $7,500 level.
Right, right. Neifer, it's always valuable when we have these conversations, man. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I enjoy it.
You bet. Paul Neifer, Farm CPA Report blog and podcast. All right, man, that's taking in a lot of info. Davis and I will break it down next.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
$100 million. That's how much Eric Hovde spent in attack ads lying about Tammy Baldwin.
What's the real difference between them?
Tammy Baldwin has worked with Republican and Democratic presidents to bring manufacturing jobs back from China to Wisconsin.
Eric Hovde invests in companies that outsource Wisconsin jobs.
Tammy has taken on the big pharmaceutical companies to lower prices.
Hovde wants to restore their sweetheart deal so they can jack up prices.
Tammy Baldwin has always protected Social Security and Medicare.
Hovde has a plan to slash both to pay for trillions in new tax breaks for rich guys like him.
And Tammy Baldwin is leading the fight to restore Roe v. Wade.
Eric Hovde would back a national abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest.
Eric Hovde's millions can't hide the truth.
Tammy Baldwin's the one working for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Achieving excellence isn't easy. It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best. Because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle ready. Meet your ally, AtticusLLC.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory on Election Day in America. I'm sitting here, I've got my... It almost feels like a USDA report day. I'm watching the markets, looking for some kind of response. It's early yet, but at some point a report will come out, and I'm waiting for a market response. I don't know what that might look like or what the report even might be that would move it, but I just have this sense, man, that there's a spring coiling. I really do.
Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the markets will tell you the truth.
They will. Yep.
If they give us the indication first, it sounds like you're going to be the first one to say it. Good stuff.
Well, and let's see here. We got crude oil up a buck. Yeah. We got the Dow up. S&P is up, right? Let me see. Yeah. Well, let me refresh before I launch into this whole thing here. Yeah. The Dow, S&P, and the Triple Q all higher today along with crude oil. And... Who knew? But at the same time, corn and beans went higher too, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
An exciting day.
It's a busy week, man. Busy week.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I still don't quite get it, dude.
What?
The beneficial ownership information. All I really understand about this is that if you are a part of a certain sort of corporation, you have got to get this signed. Otherwise, you're subject to fines.
Yeah. You got to fill it out. That's all I understand about it too.
Yeah, and your accountant, according to Paul Niefer, your accountant, God bless them, as good as they may not be up on this. They may not be willing to or able to help you out with this.
Exactly.
So give yourself some time in case you need to find an alternate route to completion here, gang.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not one to say, doggone it, this is government paperwork. You need to get it done. I'm not going to say that. The reason that we're covering it is just to make sure that you understand what the potential penalties are for this. And Davis, you know what? I'm not even sure who's going to come and enforce this. I would assume that it's going to be the IRS, but it's another form.
No. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Jeez.
You got a message. Was this a little earlier? You got a message from a listener? You want to go into that?
Yeah, yeah, I sure do. I sure do. Big Apple Joe he makes sure that we've got some kind of a presence out there on Facebook. I'm not exactly sure what that presence is, but if you're looking for us, you can search for AgriTalk on Facebook, and I think you'll probably find something there. So, message from Brett. Oh, Brett's a Chiefs fan. He's happy after last
Let's
night.
Let's go Chiefs!
Took him overtime to do it.
Well, yeah, no doubt. In other words, it took a coin flip to do it.
Yep.
Jeez. That's crazy. Okay.
Two-headed
anyway.
Kansas City coin. Anyway, go on. Yes. Kansas City
Jeff,
on both sides. Yeah.
Just saw you on U.S. Farm Report discussing the horticultural deficit. Can you clarify the labor comment? Are the higher labor costs hurting U.S. production as a result of supplier regulation? It says it wasn't clear, and I apologize for that. I own a manufacturing business, and finding employees is like pulling teeth, but it's reasonable that if a migrant can make a daily rate in 1 hour in the U.S., supply should reflect that. No, I'm sure that migrant labor is very different than a brick-and-mortar manufacturing business, but I don't understand why supply and demand wouldn't work the same. Thank you, Brett. Okay, it is regulation, and I didn't probably do the best job of what the migrant worker is making and how that compares to what they could make in Mexico. Now, they can make as much in Mexico. Excuse me. They can make as much in the U.S. when you put all costs included in that, the minimum wage, the housing, the transportation, everything that the employer is required to provide to said employee in farm work. Okay. When you look at all of that, a migrant worker can make as much in an hour in the U.S. as they can in a whole day's worth of work in Mexico. So, of course, that should provide plenty of incentive to move migrant workers from south of the border into the U.S. to take care of the horticulture, fruit, vegetable production. The problem is the farmers can't afford to pay that, because think about it. If you're paying them for 8 hours of work, you're paying them for 8 days' worth of work in Mexico to do 1 day's worth of work in the U.S. That puts the costs out of bounds, out of bounds. So it's not that the migrant workers don't want the jobs. They absolutely want the jobs. The problem is farmers can't afford to pay it.
Yep, yep.
When you look at all of those costs involved in satisfying the rules and the regulations, we import $100 billion worth of horticultural goods. We export $40 billion. Our deficit is $60 billion in horticulture. And the total U.S. ag trade deficit is going to be somewhere between 30 and 35. So we take a bite out of that $60 billion horticulture ag trade deficit with things like beef and pork and corn and soybeans and wheat and cotton and, you know, go on down the list. So we're actually taking a bite out of that deficit that is the horticulture trade deficit. And the trade deficit is just simply because the rules and regulations make it so expensive to be in the business. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It
is. Yep.
Brett,
in other
thank
news.
You. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Well said. In other news, yeah, the Facebook is up live and running. AgriTalk on Facebook. In the banner, it says, bringing ag news to your ears. That sounds about right, Chip.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Check us out on Facebook. Say hello.
Man, just listen to that song. Get out there and vote, guys.
Vote.
Get out there and vote. Today is the day. I'm not saying that you can't complain if you don't vote, but you can't complain if you don't vote. Get out there and get it done. Make your choice known. Come back this afternoon, 206 Central, Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game.